Welcome to Another Day Above Ground, a show for, by, and about baby boomers. It's the podcast for people who have no idea how to download a podcast. And now, here's your host, Dale Irvin.
Well, my baby boomer friends and baby boomer listeners, thanks for joining us for yet another episode of Another Day Above Ground. This is the podcast where we celebrate the fact that we are indeed above ground. We're getting older, but we're still here. And we like to talk about things that pertain to all baby boomers. Now, I can't do it alone, obviously. I need my two baby boomer partners. First, from the state of Indiana, the Aristotle of comedy, Mr. Tim Slagle.
Hey, it's almost 4th of July, the time of year that we remind the enemies around the world that gunpowder is used for fun here. And there's not a mailbox safe in the Tri-County area.
That's right, and we don't need as many stinking fingers as we have. And joining us from Denver, Colorado, our distaff side, the woman who tries to keep us in line, Carolyn Strauss.
Well, hey, everybody, and I am actually going to see the Baby Boomer Band on Friday night. I am going to the Grateful Dead concert.
Wow.
This Friday night, Dead and Company, because most of the Grateful Dead is...
Dead, yeah.
Dead. Yeah, so...
And they're grateful.
I went to see the Rolling Stones last week, and, you know, I got to tell you that Charlie Watts, they had to kind of help him up on the drum set, but he's 78, and Mick, I think, is like 75, and they're still kicking it, you know, it's amazing. All the people their age that tried to get into the cheap seats where I was were dependent upon oxygen bottles because they couldn't climb up that high.
hence the reason why the Dead are grateful.
Well, I'd like to start off today just by a brief rant, if you will, just a thing I ran into. It's my internet service, TV, and phone provider, and I don't want to, you know, I don't want to mention them by name, though they would rhyme with bombast, and you just have to change one letter. But they have perhaps the worst customer service in the world. They had a problem with my TV last night. I call them up out of the hour conversation. I spent 45 minutes on hold. And here's the first thing that you need to know if you're going to be in customer service: learn to speak the language of your customer. Because the woman I talked to had a barely passing fancy with English, and I could hardly understand what she was saying. She passed me over to some other guy who promised me there'd be somebody here today. There was nobody here today. I'm fed up with the company, and I'm mad as hell, and I'm not going to take it anymore. And I just wanted to get that out. So any of our baby boomer friends, if you got a better deal than bombast, you let me know, and I'll be happy to take a look at them.
Right. Well, you don't know, the repairman might be on his way still. It takes a long time to get to Chicago from Pakistan.
Well, we know, you know, as baby boomers, a lot of stuff happens to us that we weren't really prepared for. You know, it was never in the brochure of stuff that was going to happen to us when we get older. For instance, why is it every time I sit down or stand up, my knees sound like bubble wrap? You know, it's just, it's not something good. Why do I have to pee four times a night? That was never the thing. And one of the things that we're going to face is part replacement, just like in cars, you know, knee replacement, hip replacement. Unfortunately, they can't do brain replacements because that could help a lot of people. But a hip replacement is a major surgical thing that a lot of boomers are having done. So we thought, why not get an expert on here? A doctor? No, heavens no. We want a patient. We want somebody who has gone through it. And for that, we have chosen my good friend Greg Davidson from Atlanta, Georgia. And Greg and I have known each other since the 1980s. You do the
since
math.
Since our knees and our hips were good.
Back when we could actually run away from trouble and make it back to... We worked a lot on cruise ships and have just been best friends ever since. Anyhow, Greg recently had to have his hip replaced, and he's going to let us know what happened. Greg, first of all, welcome to Another Day Above Ground.
Hey, thanks a lot. Nice to finally meet you guys. And I've been listening to the show for a couple times, and
You're the one.
That's huge. Huge.
You guys are often funny, and so that's good. And,
very often,
and so. No, it's nice to be able to be here. Here's what I think. Sooner or later, you're going to be guest worthy for something. whether you're still around per se or not. But anyway, yeah, I'm happy to explain anything that you'd like to know. Keeping in mind that this is not actual medical advice. I'm not a doctor or anything like that, just the patient, as you said. So
I don't think anybody's going to try and do it at home on, you know, your suggestion.
I would now. Really?
I have to offer an apology here. When I got the notes that today's show was going to be about hip replacement, I thought it was going to be about resorting your record collection.
Yeah. And I thought it was something to do with Huey Lewis and the News, so I was surprised as well. I mean, it's, you know.
Well, yeah, you definitely have to have that removed if you're getting a hip replacement.
The
first question people would ask out there is, how do I know I'm supposed to have a hip replacement? You know, do you watch the commercials on TV? They tell you what drugs to take for diseases you didn't know you had.
That's a good question. And, you know, you just said that your knee sounds like, I believe you said bubble wrap or something, right?
Yes.
Yeah, and I think probably the reason for that is you probably didn't take your drywall work knee pads out of the packaging. But
you think it was drywall.
That's only a theory, and remember, a theory is nothing more than a collective hunch. So it just starts to hurt really badly, and you just, I mean, you know, I had a back surgery before this because I'm trying to collect the series. And
get your card.
Yeah, I'm thinking I'm trying to get all the parts replaced before the warranty runs out. But I thought it was my back, and I did have problems with my back. But then, as you get better with your back, they say walk, walk, walk. And of course, they have snacks and stuff to encourage you. But it didn't get better. I could only make it so far, and then, you know, it was hurting. So they said, well, let's take a look at that. Which is kind of odd because I first went in to say that I felt my hip hurt. And the pain specialist said, show me where it hurts. And I did. And she said, that's not even your hip. So, see, I'm not a doctor.
And your doctor needed a new car.
I think so. I it's funny you mention that because I asked him what he was driving and he said a Tesla. But lately finds out that I unhooked the battery.
It was backbreaking work for you.
Anyway, that's how I found out. I mean, I kept hurting, and they said, well, let's take a picture of this. And then he came out and he had the report, and I think he said something like, whoa. And it was kind of funny because the doctor looked at the report. You know, they don't bring out a film anymore. They just kind of have it on, comes to their screen immediately. And he took a piece of paper and he covered it over one half. And he says, now I'm going to just move your knee and I'm going to tell you exactly what I'm. And he says, yeah, it's your hip. And he removed the paper and he said, look at this hip here, and showed me the difference. And according to what was on the screen, which could have been any one of your hips, by the way.
Oh, yeah. They only have one, they show.
Yeah, I think so.
I have a uterus in the way, though. I don't know that it could be any one of our hips. I'm not sure you want to say that.
Oddly enough, I was surprised to see it on my own report.
That might have explained the back pain. Hello, you should have taken a Migol and called me.
but it looked pretty bad. And so he said, I said, can you fix it? And he said yes, and so we went forward. I actually got two opinions because, quite frankly, the first guy I was kind of goofing around with, and when I asked him how many of those he had done, he started counting on his fingers. first of all.
Well, at least he didn't take off his shoes.
No, I stopped him because he was the oddly, and I didn't really trust him because he started number one. He started out with using the thumb. That's not normal.
You mean for counting?
Yes, exactly.
Oh, okay. Yeah. It's not was normal it, for other things either. But.
It wasn't that hip. then he got to two, and then he got to three, and he put the finger back down. He goes, no, that one didn't really work out. And so I thought it was pretty funny until I left the office, and I went, what happens if this guy decides that there's a good joke when he's got the saw? So I looked for another opinion, and I think I found the better doctor. Cool. So. I did a lot of research too on it because, just science is fun, you know. And you've got Google and you've got YouTube, and you can just do research on anything now. And I was pretty sure I could do it myself up until the point where you go to sleep.
here's a question I have. I know, I don't know, but I've heard that like when you go to shop for golf clubs. There's a wide selection that you can get. You can go for the standard steel shaft, steel heads, all the way up to graphite shafted titanium heads. Are there any options with it? Did they pull out three or four hips and say these are the one? This is what you have to choose from.
They pulled up Amazon and they said, okay, this is our special today.
Sort by price, sort by warranty, sort by.
I told him
distance.
I was a Prime member and I could have it to his office by morning. If he would pass along the savings. But
I want the gently used one. Does that come cheaper?
Yeah.
Well, they should sell used parts. Yeah.
Yeah. But they had those, but you have to clean the person off of them.
A new use for the recently deceased. That's great.
Yeah. Yeah.
To
answer your question, though, Tim, they don't show you the goods before. They kind of find out what you need. And I think it's a great idea if you knew what you were shopping for. I wouldn't know a professional line hip from a beginner's hip, you know. The same with right. golf clubs, by the way. I would have no idea. But if I would have, I would have said, couldn't you just stick a putter in there? I mean, you know, that would be good. And I'm sure you
can turn a little to the left.
You can probably put the putter. Well, I'm doing things visually, and that's not going to work on a podcast. But I'm sure you could hot glue just a regular Titleist ball to a putter and essentially come up with the same gizmo. Which would be good until you went to the tropics and the ball melted off, and then there you are standing with an empty socket, a putter, and a smile,
and so, a new meaning to the word handicap. So there you go.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
Let me just say this, Dale Irvin, that there, sir, is a gift. That's a gift you have. I mean, there was nothing prearranged before the show, and that just came out just like that. which is exactly why Tim probably has editing equipment.
lightly used.
So what happened the day of? Okay, let's say you got to have a hip replacement, and they, you know, you're going on online trying to find out all this stuff. I saw one of the videos on YouTube, and I saw about maybe two-thirds of it before it kind of made me oozy. And so what happens when you go in?
Well, first of all, you have to go in before there's anybody there. I'm not sure why they call you in so early. I think in case you have car trouble. And so because they don't want to show up if the patient's not showing up, which is kind of, to me, it's a little bit selfish because I'm the guy getting swissed up. But it was like 5:30 in the morning. So you don't even really know where you are. You don't have anything to eat. You've been bathing for 5 days in this. Some kind of washing product. I don't know exactly what it is. But it tastes a little bit like Drano, and it's you can't use soap, you can't use anything like that, just this special product, which it's like a whatever it is, it doesn't have any carnauba. It's a pure cleaner, astringent kind of thing. And so you go in there cleaner than a person really needs to be. And then you get there and they say, okay, come on in. And what do? They wash you.
Wow.
They scrub you down again, and then they do things to you that, you know, when you shouldn't be done by people you don't know. And
unless you're paying them well, which you were.
Yes, I was eventually. And then they give you one of those hats like the sandwich designers have, and at Subway.
Oh, yeah.
And then they lay down, and then the tubes start coming. They start filling you up with stuff like you've got IV coming out of places where, and no, that's not Roman for four, Dale. They've got tubes sticking out of you, and they're getting you ready for the surgery. That's it prior to going back, I believe.
Wow. So, I mean, how many tubes do they stick like stuff in your throat and everything? Or
no. No, they have a special kind of what would you call it?
Gizmo?
Yeah. It's like it's like a gizmo. It's a, like a gizmo bob. But they have a special kind of sedation they used on me because they gave me a choice. And I said, I want the one where you close your eyes, then you wake up and you have a hip. And but the kind that they gave me, which I'll tell you about in a bit, was a what I would call new and not necessarily improved, where you just feel sleepy until you get into the room. So when you get into the room, now you're capped, you're tubed, you've been manscaped somewhat, and then they bring you into the room and they're getting ready to give you the juice. Somebody is, and that's when I stopped them because I wanted to see the tools.
You're a very mechanically oriented guy.
I am.
See what
I am
doing. Yes.
And next time you think you've got a nice screw gun like a DeWalt or a Porter Cable, you ain't got nothing on the surgeons. This is wall to wall stainless steel. They've got they've got these giant, beautiful chisels and mallets that the mallets look like the one at the, when you used to go to the fair and ring the bell.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
It's like that. It's really something out of Scooby-Doo, but it's made of stainless. So it's like if Scrappy-Doo did really well and was able to get a stainless, hammer.
Did you inspect the tools really close? Because I know my Snap-on still have like grease in all the writing, and it actually makes it better because I can see 10 mil. If it gets too clean, I can't read that it says 10 millimeters on it anymore.
I hear you, man, and you can't like put white out inside of those places and be cool. Like, you don't want to like spray red spray paint in your Snap-ons and wipe them off with your thumb, and then somebody comes over and goes, oh. So you help the labeling on the tools, huh? And you go, yeah. And they go, oh, that's really nice. But I was able to look at the tools because there's one that's, I'm a magician. That's my real job, although I've become a patient in the last year mostly. But they have at one point, as I told the surgeon, this is going to be interesting because you're going to be one of the few doctors that ever sawed a magician in half. because at one point they use it's like a variable tool. It's a oscillating cutter, just like you would trim the bottom off of a door with, or trim around the house. It's just like a
Dremel.
It's not a rotating one. It's an oscillating one.
Like a Sawzall.
Yeah, Sawzall's reciprocating.
A Milwaukee Sawzall.
Sawzall's not
reciprocating.
Like an electric knife? Like you would use to cut a chicken? Because think about it. If you've ever tried to cut the leg off a chicken before it's been cooked, it's really hard to separate it. So an electric knife.
Well, if it's way before it's been cooked, it's hard to catch it.
Yes.
Yeah, and if you lose electric knife for a chicken, what's the hatchet for? Oh, this is Oh, this is after it's cooked. I get it now. Okay. So no, it's like a, it's like an oscillating. They call them multi-tools. Anyway, it's a beauty. And I said, before you pump that plunger, because I know they're going to put me out. Well, they pumped the plunger and nothing happened. And I was like, this is kind of weird. I can still like hear and everything. And then I started to try to move my foot. And I realized that my whole bottom part of my body was not connected to my brain, my command center anymore, that I was paralyzed totally from the waist down by their design, which I didn't really understand when I signed up for that, because that is the weirdest feeling in the world. It's like being buried in sand instantly. And when
or a date with Cosby.
Yeah.
Did they at least put you in that box I've seen you use on stage to cut people in half?
No, man. I was laying out there wide open like a boneless chicken filet. You're just there, and I don't recommend that feeling. I think I should have let him hit the plunger on the other one to put me asleep first, because you do not want to feel yourself not feeling. Very weird.
Yeah.
And you also realize there's absolutely nothing you could do if someone wanted to, like, slap you.
There's a Stephen King story about exactly that, and I've seen it, and it terrifies me. I mean, terrified. So you talking about it, and you chose to do this, and you sure you chose the right doctor? Because I'm thinking this is weird.
Well, he didn't know that I brought my own mallet too. Yeah, but then I was asleep, you know, I went to sleep. And apparently they bring you in and out of sleep during the procedure. I'm not sure what that's for, to, like, say, like, I have no idea, because it's not like you need to move anything. But at one point, and this is the interesting part, I think, they cut through your leg bone and they you know, you've got the bone in the socket, which is it's a tie rod end, is what it's like. It's like it's an Impala.
I just replaced those. I just replaced two tie rod ends last week.
You know what I'm talking about? These
absolutely.
Now this is more like an Impala tie rod end than like a Ford product. It's a good one.
I don't know. Mine was pretty rusty. I had to get the mallet to get that sucker off.
That's why I brought the mallet.
Did you bring your pickle fork too? Yeah,
they called them wheel pullers in the surgical center, I think. But the cool part is really that when they saw through that bone, you are essentially in half except for the meat. Wow. I mean, and so the table they put you on, you really want to know about this?
Oh yeah.
Okay, the table they put you on. let's see what it's called. It's named after
magician.
It's named after a lady mermaid. It's a Hannah table. It's a Hannah table. Daryl Hannah is where it's going there, but it's called a Hannah table, and it's really like a bucket seat that lays back, and you know those ramps that you'll put your four-wheel vehicle back up into your truck with? They just kind of fold out. Yeah. That's where your legs go, and they go into two ski boots at the end. So you've got – it's quite a look, really.
Carolyn's probably done something quite familiar.
Well, I mean, this is not – that would be more like
– ski boots, you know.
I don't ski, kids.
That would be more like après ski. This was more like après hand. But
I'm thinking they should have used a picnic table. It's already got the slats in it. It would make the cut really even. You just zzz, right down the slat.
I'm with you, Carolyn, but wait, there's more. They've got your feet in the ski boots, and that's for one reason only, that it holds your foot sticking up. And when they're ready, they take that truck ramp and they pull the pin out of it, and it drops your leg down to the floor.
How?
So now, And now your body is on the dining room table, but your leg is on the floor kind of thing. I mean, it's leaning down. And that is so they can get up to the bone.
Now, kind of like Kermit after Jim Henson died.
You got it. You know that happened. You know that happened. Yeah, because that drummer, that Dr. Tooth or whatever his name is, he had a vengeance to him. He had that crazy puppet look in his eyes, especially when they jiggled. So they drop that leg, and now they can really work on it. So here's the prime part. Then they take the oscillating saw, and they cut that out, and then they pop that bone out of there. Wow. And so this is the point where I ask my doctor, can you please take some photos? And he said he can't do that. And so I said, please, and he said, okay.
Well, you're persuasive.
Well, you know, manners. My mama taught me that. And so I have this great picture of this chunk of me laying on a table, a kind of a shop rag, really. It's blue. And it looks exactly like Tim, like the tie rod end you're explaining. It's out of round. It's rusted. Well, it's not rusted, but it's not good.
Now, how much of your day did they take? How long did the operation take?
I think it took about probably 2.5 or 3 hours total. But I think they were goofing around for the first part. And I held them up a little bit with the asking about the tool display while I was in there. But it's such beautiful stuff. I mean, these guys, they work. I'm serious. I mean, these people study for this all their life. They have the greatest tools in the world. And they go in, and the reason I asked them to take photographs was I said to them, I was just working on my downspout gutters under my lawn, and I took photos of that because I knew I was going to cover it up. It's a shame that you, like, take off your rubber gloves, and then you turn to someone and say, close, and they close you up, and no one ever gets to see the work. But it was about 3 hours. The worst part for me was coming out of the anesthesia that they gave me afterwards, because it didn't fix my pain.
So
you can take a lot more of those things than you might think. They shot me full of some fentanyl, first of all, half syringe full of those. And I said, that didn't work. And she said, well, wait 10 minutes and I'll give you some more. And so she gave me some more, and that didn't work either. So then they pumped me full of Dilaudid. And if you've ever had that, that's some pretty heavy pharmaceuticals. And that didn't work either. So then they gave me, pumped me full of liquid oxycodone, which is, it worked okay, but then you've got this soup.
It worked okay, but why stop at that point?
that's what Elvis said.
Yeah. Then I felt like shooting the TV and having a deep fat fried banana sandwich, just like Elvis. That was the worst part for me of the whole process was the drugs. I mean, it just, first of all, any of the oxy anythings to me are like the fast food of pharmaceuticals. You could have, like, you know, a pain in your elbow. They say, oh, give them oxycodone or hydrocodone or something like that. And eventually what you have is something akin to a stew of stuff in your belly that just doesn't like being there. And so I had to wait that off. But they have you up and walking like that day, but they had to wait for me because the lady said, get up and walk. And I said, unless you're planning some kind of biblical miracle here, I ain't ready for it yet because I am so stoned that I'm just going to fall down. And believe me, I know what I'm talking about here. I'm not good for walking. So they had to wait for that to wear off.
But not all the oxys are good, though. I mean, you get some trailer park meth, it could be really heavy in the oxy clean.
They told me this was clean and uncut. I made them promise. the first thing I said was, this is funny. Who stepped on this?
Now, how many days were you in the hospital?
I wasn't in the hospital one day.
Wow.
No, man, they've got you up. as soon as I was wobbly, I'll say, they had me walking up steps, and I went, you know, I don't think I need to practice this because there's no way I'm going to do this when I get home, just for the record. But they have a protocol of things. It's really, I think they're doing some sort of a chemical study. It's not really about the surgery. It's about how high you could be and still do stuff. I mean, I thought it was a little bit unreasonable and uncalled for that they made me play that golf tee game from the Cracker Barrel. I mean, that doesn't prove anything.
One last question before we go, okay. And that is, would you do it again?
I would if I was in that much pain, and I encourage somebody that's going to go into looking at a total hip replacement that it can be okay. The worst thing you have to worry about is getting infected, and unless you're just not taking care of business, that probably won't happen. So I will say absolutely. When you're in a lot of pain, you'll do anything to get out of pain, and I realized that that was not going to happen unless I took some action. And I got a lot of things I still need to do, and part of that's traveling around and lifting stuff and being able to go out and do shows, and that was pretty much the end of the line. However, I will say, surgery is always kind of the last scenario. It's and I'd tried everything. I'd gone from acupuncture to massage to physical therapies of all kind to just about everything, and it was time.
So how long has it been now, Greg, since you did it?
It's been, a little over 3 weeks now.
Oh, my God. So this is, like, really new. Where's your pain level now on a scale of 1 to 10?
It's a 0 right now.
Oh, my gosh.
Wow.
Yeah.
How many of us can say we got 0?
No, I got a lot more just sitting here.
How many Vicodin you taking?
No, I, as a matter of fact, today I didn't even take any Tylenol because I just went, I don't think I really need this. Believe me, when you're taking a lot of that stuff, it does a lot of stuff you don't want it to do. And yeah. And so you just don't even want a piece of that. It feels like you're swallowing the stuff that they use for baby diapers where, you know, you put one little bit of moisture in it and it goes into a big ball of gel. So you just don't want that. So, it's a wonderful thing.
Well, thank you very much for being with us. My baby boomer friends, you now know that hip replacement is not only becoming more commonplace as a cure for your pain, but you're in and out in a day. I mean, you know, you can make a golf match for the next morning, you know, if you're really that stupid. But it's quick. It's easy. I don't know how much it costs, but I'm sure, you know, it's more than like $50. But, so if you can afford it and if you're in pain, get your hip replaced. And that's our public service announcement for the week. That's and good. Wrapping it up, any last things to say? Greg, anything you'd like to plug?
No, not really. I'm just, you know, it was all about the hip for me today.
Okay. Tim, how about you? Anything?
TimSlegel.com. Find more information about me and my other podcast, Rule of Three.
How about you, Carolyn?
I'm just thinking about this hip replacement, or Greg, I might just have you cut me in half, do some liposuction while you're in there, and then put me back together.
Whatever you want, I'm going to have to use the pump from the aquarium for that, though.
Sounds a little fishy to me.
Okay.
And if you'd like to do a little bottom feeding, go to DaleIrvin.com and sign up for the Friday Funnies for free. Other than that, thanks to Greg Davidson for being our guest, him and his brand new hip. And thank you, folks, for listening. We'll see you again next time on Another Day Above Ground. Go out and celebrate.
And that's it for Another Day Above Ground. For Dale, Tim, and Carolyn, I'm Farad Muhammad. Thanks for listening.